O Yahweh,
teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your command. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good.
Greetings, Israelite brothers and sisters. Praise Yahweh for His divine influence and saving health. This is part 8 of Sickness vs. Health. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Sickness vs. Health is found in the Word Studies menu. Sicknesses, calamities, and afflictions are warning signs from Yahweh that you are wandering out of the way. We are seeing in the books of the prophets that our ancestors, as a nation, are going through devastating afflictions which were sent by Yahweh. Afflictions by the sword, famine, bondage, and captivity. We will get into the New Testament in this episode, which is really only the A.D. part of our Israelite family's history. The renewed covenant, in which only the priesthood and its rituals were done away with. The scriptures are one covenant with one racial family of people, the children of Jacob, Yisrael. We will see the afflictions from Yahweh for disobedience in the B.C. part of our history, which we have been covering, turn from exile, bondage, and death by sword to afflictions from men and the society towards those who follow Yahweh. This is because in the time of the prophets, the people sinned until there was no remedy. They were divorced from Yahweh and scattered, becoming lost, ignorant, and walking in darkness. The A.D. Israelites of Christ's time were the descendants of the cast-off B.C. Israelites. So without Yahweh, without walking in the way, and because they adopted false religions, idols, and gods, they were walking in darkness, lost, ill, demon-possessed, and mentally, physically, and spiritually unhealthy. Yeshua was He that was prophesied of that would heal and restore the tribes of Jacob Israel, for He came for the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. Our people today are the descendants of these same lost sheep and are still walking in darkness, especially if they are a member of one of the satanic cults. Of the 33,000 so-called demonations of so-called Christianity, worship a Jewish Jesus, and identify as a trans-Gentile. These people are in need of hearing the true gospel, so they may be made firm in the belief, strong in body, and clean and restored in spirit. We are told over and over that if we shall indeed obey Yahweh's voice and do all that he instructs, then he will withdraw afflictions and illnesses away from the midst of you. We continue in the book of Micah. Micah's prophecy forecasts Yahweh's impending judgment of the northern kingdom of Israel. Just as the other prophets, the message was about the sin, punishment, and restoration of Israel. Micah uses poetic language, describing the coming of Yahweh's presence, connecting his judgment to the wrath which is about to come upon the people of the land in the form of the Assyrian invasions. The Assyrians were the rod that Yahweh used to punish Yisrael. Micah 1:5. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the pagan high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Samaria, by its very existence, has become a sin to Israel, and Jerusalem has become a place of idolatry. Verse 6. Therefore, I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires of the harlots thereof shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. Yahweh would discover the foundations of Samaria, the idols which were gathered of the hire of a harlot. This is a reference to foreign intercourse in trade and an unlawful communion, sexual and otherwise, with the non-Israelite and pagan nations. Verse 8, Micah speaking, Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the jackals, and mournings as the owls. The Septuagint has this verse in the second person here instead of the first. Therefore shall she lament and wail, she shall go barefooted, and being naked, she shall make lamentation as that of serpents, and mourning as of the daughters of sirens. Israel sought after profit in the trade with other nations. The result of that folly is that Israel is to be left stripped bare and naked. Verse 9. For her wound, or for her plague, or for her smiting, is incurable, or mortal. For it is come unto Judah, it is come unto the gate of my people, even to Yerushalayim. The Septuagint and the Geneva have, For her plague has become grievous. The Hebrew has, Mortal smitings of her. It has come unto the gate, meaning that the same wound has come to Judah. The sins for which Israel is condemned are also being practiced in Judah. We see a parallel between Israel and Judah then, and Europe and America now, both white Christian nations which engaged in racially foreign commerce with the beast nations, which leads to putting our own people out of work, sharing our inventions and blessings with aliens, and the business affairs turn into interracial relationships, which lead to race mixing and blending of cultures and gods, which leads to all sorts of abominations, which is why Yahweh demands we be separate from the other races and make no covenants with them. They don't have anything we need. Yahweh did nothing but good things for Israel, and yet Israel has forsaken him to pursue the worldly ways of God's enemies. The religious system of sacrifices, as well as the legal system of Levites and judges, were being corrupted and used for oppression rather than for justice. The oppression of the poor by the wealthy was another one of the chief transgressions of Israel. By seeking riches in international trade, the same riches described in Revelation 18, the nation was described as being a whore. Micah 6:12. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make you sick, or will I make you grieved, wounded, or diseased, in smiting you, in making you desolate, because of your sins. Prosperity and peace are blessings from God. When Israel is disobedient, those things are withdrawn. The seeking of wealth in merchandise and trade, which Israel was explicitly chastised in the prophecies of Amos, Hosea, and Micah, leads to competition among brethren, which leads to capitalism. Capitalism is an economic system based on private ownership and means of production. Capitalism is what allowed the international Jew to thrive, because they eventually buy out all the businesses, corporations, and governments. They control the wage labor, exchange, price system, and competitive markets. The result is a world full of slaves owned by Jews. The beast nations are elevated and the white nations are brought low. It allows the Jews to bring in their one world order of universalism. Nahum is the sequel to the book of Jonah. Its theme is the burden of Nineveh. Nineveh is first mentioned in the book of Genesis as being founded by Asher, a descendant of Shem. In the book of Jonah, we learn of its wickedness and reformation as a result of the preaching of Jonah. We now see that Nineveh's reformation was not maintained, and in the time of Nahum, some 50 years later, its evil brought misery to the ancient world. Apostasy is followed by certain judgment. The purpose of Nahum's entire prophecy is to foretell the vengeance which Yahweh would take against the Assyrians for their destruction of Israel and Judah. The Assyrians were descendants of Shem and were racial kinsmen to the children of Israel, which were also Shemites. Assyria was the rod by which Yahweh would punish the children of Israel. The Assyrians were too proud of themselves for the task assigned them by Yahweh and even mocked him. Nahum 3:18. Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles shall dwell in the dust. Your people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth. There is no healing, or there is no dimming of your bruise, or there is no dimming of the breaking of you. Your wound, or your plague, or scourging, or smiting, is grievous. All that hear the report of you shall clap the hands over you, for upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? H. 3545, Kaiha, is a noun used once and means a quenching, dulling, lessening, alleviation, and healing. While after the fall of Nineveh, there were scatterings of Assyrian peoples in diverse places, there was no longer any great Assyrian peoples, and the national identity was completely destroyed. We see in the prophets that many once white Adamic nations were destroyed because they forsook Yahweh. We also see that the houses of Israel and Judah followed the same footsteps of idolatry and race mixing as these other Adamic pagan nations. The reason our Israelite nations and peoples are still around is because of the promises made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob regarding their seed. We Israelites are Yahweh's works, and he chose us as a set-apart people with whom he covenanted with and has loving commitment with. He will always preserve a remnant from each tribe, because we are the ones building his kingdom. We are his servants. We continue to preserve our racial identity. We continue to guard and follow his laws, and we continue our heritage. Yahweh keeps his promises and covenant with us, and he has not done so with any other race, or nation, or church. He changes not, therefore we sons of Jacob are not consumed. Zephaniah, Zephaniah 3:17. Yahweh your Elohim in the midst of you is mighty. He will save, or he will preserve, or free you. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. The Septuagint is more intimate. Yahweh your Elohim is in you. The Mighty One shall preserve you. He shall bring joy upon you, and shall refresh you with his love. And he shall rejoice over you with delight, as in a day of feasting. Verse 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful, or afflicted, for the solemn assembly, who are of you, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. The Geneva Bible reads, After a certain time will I gather the afflicted that were of you, and them that bear the reproach for it, referring to them that were upset about all the sin and wickedness. Yahweh had to divorce and cast them all off, but he also promised to regather, restore, and heal the ones that returned to him and continued in him. Zechariah 11:15. And Yahweh said unto me, Take unto you yet the instruments of a foolish or unskilled shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that is standing still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. The Septuagint reads, For behold, I will raise up a shepherd against the land. He shall not visit that which is perishing, and he shall not seek that which is scattered, and he shall not heal that which is bruised, nor guide that which is whole. But he shall devour the flesh of the choice ones, and shall dislocate the joints of their necks. The Hebrew has, And he shall break off and eat the hoofs of them. This sounds like the Edomite Jews and their doctrine. Herod, an Edomite Jew, had replaced the Levitical priests with Edomites and beheaded John. These verses also speak of today's preachers. With Judeo-Christian doctrine they have declawed the congregation. Verse 17. Woe to the idle, or vain, shepherd that leaves the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean withered, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. This is referring to the covering of chapter 5, which is likely a reference to the Jewish Talmud, described as a flying roll. Flying is H5774, oof, a primitive root, to cover, with wings or obscurity, the act of darkening. Also, by implication of dimness, to faint from the darkness of swooning. Wax faint, flee away, fly away, shine forth and weary. Fainting is falling into a swoon, failing, losing strength or courage, becoming feeble or timid, a temporary loss of strength, color, and respiration. This flying roll, from a horizontal view, such as a flying carpet, can be thought of as those who successfully hide their sins from us, below the scroll, cannot hide them from Yahweh, above the scroll. From another view, such as described in the above definitions, it can be shown that the written word of Yahweh, the Torah, has been covered by the Jewish perversion of the laws of Moses into their satanic Judaism. This has been explained by Christ himself. It must first be understood that the scribes, Sadducees, and Pharisees at the time of Christ were Canaanite and Edomite Jews. For about 150 years, the children of Israel has been swooned into the doctrine of the Pharisees. After a few generations of brainwashing, the newer generations grow up in the new doctrine. This was the birth of Judaism. Judaism is not Christianity. It is the perversion of Christianity. Why would Yahweh allow this to happen? Because when we don't listen to the warnings and examples in Scripture, when we don't use our brains and follow the law written upon our hearts, when we don't walk in the way daily and seek the truth, then we are easily swooned and led astray. We become antichrist and the adversaries rise, and we become oppressed and diseased, because Yahweh's presence cannot abide with unlearned, habitual, and deceived sinners. All 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity have been swooned by counterfeit doctrine, by the flying roll of Jewish abominations, and that is why our people are sick and walking in darkness, why our nation is unhealthy and decaying, and why Yahweh is allowing our enemies to rule over us. It's our own fault. Malachi was a prophet, the last, to the people who came back to Jerusalem, first under Ezra and Zerubbabel, and later Nehemiah. Yahweh is speaking about the Edomite priests that have crept into the Levitical priesthood, Malachi 1:4. Whereas Edom says, "We are impoverished, but we Edomite Jews will return and build the desolate places. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the Edomite Jews shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever." The border of wickedness is that cursed Jewish dirt of Israel. Verse 5, "And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Yahweh will be magnified from the border of Israel." The border of wickedness is different than the border of Israel. Verse 5 is not talking about the Jew-occupied land of Israel, but rather the territory of the children of Israel, wherever we are. That would be the white nations of Europe and America. Verse 6, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my reverence? Says Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name?" These Edomite Jew priests taught that the name of God, Yahweh, was too holy to speak, and removed it from translation and replaced it with the title of their god, Baal, the Lord of the Flies. Verse 7. You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of Yahweh is contemptible, or disregarded, or slighted. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or accept your person? Says Yahweh of hosts. The offering of blemished and inferior sacrifices, just like their father Cain's offerings, which were refused by Yahweh. Today, our people who make offerings and do things in the name of Jewish Jesus are offering polluted gifts of evil. Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that revere my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with spiritual healing, or health, in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he said, awake, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, or arise from ignorance, and Christ shall give you light. The prophecy of Malachi shows us of the Edomite usurpation of the Levitical priesthood and warns us of the harmful effects of engaging in false doctrine. Jewish fables and denominational churchianity swoons us, puts us to sleep, and we become the walking dead, void of Yahweh's presence and blessings, sick, diseased, plagued with calamity, and in danger of hellfire and the second death. In the Old Testament, or rather, the B.C. part of our ancestors' history, we see a direct connection with obedience to Yahweh, which brings prosperity, blessings, protection, health, and ultimately eternal salvation. We see a direct connection with disobedience, ignorance, and rebellion to Yahweh, which brings calamity, plagues, sicknesses and diseases, death, captivity, and ultimately eternal damnation. The prophets and good men were afflicted by the people and kings, but affliction from man for standing for the word is storing up treasure in heaven. Affliction from Yahweh is the effect of going astray and missing the mark of duty. We see that it is Yahweh who heals us when we return to Him and walk in His ways. Let's now examine the New Testament, or rather, the A.D. part of our ancestors' history, and up to the present day, in which we Israelites are to keep, guard, and continue in our heritage and walking in the way of Yahweh. It's one book, one covenant, and with one people, the children of Yisrael. We will witness the fulfillment of the prophecies of our Savior and Healer, Yeshua Christ, become the focal point of our healing and restoration. We will again see affliction and sickness because of error and falling away. We will see many sick and demon-possessed people, which is a result of the influence of false doctrine and living in ignorance. We will see our afflicted and sick ancestors receive the promises of their healer, Yeshua Christ, which were made to their B.C. ancestors. These people are in the condition they are in as a result of the divorce of their ancestors. Yahweh literally divorced them. He didn't cast them away forever because of the promises he made with Abraham, but he withdrew his presence, and as a result, they were walking in darkness. Their same descendants, our AD brothers and sisters today, are the same lost sheep walking in darkness, afflicted, oppressed, possessed, infirm, and unfirm. The gospel message is needed now more than ever, but not the message the churches are teaching, which is why all our people are so sick and lost. We will also see that rather than witnessing national affliction like in the BC times, we will see the righteous ones being afflicted by our own people, the society, and by the Jews and their agitations. Afflictions and illness from Yahweh are warning signs to be heeded. Afflictions from men and the system are from warning them to heed Yahweh. There are over 35 words used in the Greek for health, sickness, affliction, and calamity. Matthew 4:23. And Yahshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, or curing, all manner of sickness, or disease, and all manner of disease, or bodily weakness, among the people. Healing is G2323, therapeuo, a verb, which means to wait upon menially, serve, to relieve of disease, to heal, to cure. Sickness is G3554, nosos, a noun, and is a malady, figurative of moral disability, a disease, infirmity, and sickness. Disease is G3119, malakia, a noun, and is an infirmity, debility, bodily weakness. Christ said he came as an example. He didn't just give these people words to just believe. He taught them to put the words into practice, and through this taught them good health. A sound body and a sound mind go together. Your body is a temple where Yahweh dwells, a sacred place, meant to be kept pure and clean. This is why he made the food laws, which are still in effect. What kind of person are you if your temple is not fit? Yahweh does not dwell in a polluted temple, nor in a defiled heart with Jewish Jesus in it. Verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, meaning the ones evilly ill, that were taken, or that were afflicted with diverse diseases and torments, or pains, or ordeals, and those which were possessed with devils, meaning the ones being demonized, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, meaning paralytics, and he healed them. Sick people is a combination of G2192 and 2560. G2192, echo, which means to be or find oneself in such and such a condition. G2560, kakos, which means badly amiss, diseased, miserably, grievously, evilly ill, physically or morally. Torments is G931, basanos, a noun, and is the pains of disease, the pains of ordeals. Ordeal is defined in Webster's as a primitive means used to determine guilt or innocence by submitting the accused to dangerous or painful tests believed to be under supernatural control, a severe trial or experience. Supernatural is of or relating to an order of existence beyond the visible, observable universe, of or relating to God or a God, demigod, spirit, or devil. The people in the synagogues were always astonished and somewhat offended when Christ and his disciples taught in them. This is because the Edomite Jews were teaching their own satanic religion of Judaism, as if it were scripture, and the people were fooled, just like today they are fooled by Judeo-Christianity, which is why our people are unlearned, ignorant, unhealthy, possessed with the Jewish demonic Jesus, and living in apostasy, and the nation is in turmoil. They are failing the test and have no idea they are on trial because they believe they are saved already. The closer to Yahweh you are, the less ordeals and supernatural trials you will have. Love for racial enemies, Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it has been said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Yeshua is talking about our personal Israelite enemies. He's not talking about his non-racial enemies, the enemies of our God. Deuteronomy 23:6. You shall not seek their, the enemies of God's, peace, nor their prosperity all your days forever. Leviticus 19:18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor or your kinsman as yourself. I am Yahweh. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies of kin. Bless them that curse you. Do good, or do well, or do ideally to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The righteous and unrighteous Israelites are the subject here. The Greek has ideally, where the King James Version has good. Good is G2573, kalos, which means rightly, well, nobly, honorably, so that there shall be no room for blame. Ideally, in Webster's, is an adjective meaning intellectually. Ideal is intellectual, mental, as ideal knowledge, ideal good, the ideal philosophy. Idealism is the system or theory that makes everything to consist in ideas and denies the existence of material bodies. Intellect is the faculty of the soul or mind which receives or comprehends the ideas communicated to it by the senses or by perception. Idea is literally that which is seen, the model of anything in the mind, that which is held or comprehended or understood, a purpose or intention. So what's the big idea? The will, plan, word, and purpose of Yahweh for our people born from above into this world to live according to the way, the commandments, and to be upright, healthy, knowledgeable servants, building the kingdom and bringing the good news to the lost sheep, which are the descendants of our BC Israelite ancestors who were divorced and cast off and forgot who they are and whose they are. The big idea is to have his commandments, statutes, and judgments, bind it upon our hands in all that we do, and as frontlets between our eyes and posted on our doors and gates. The big idea is to love Yahweh with all our heart and all our mind, and to love our brethren, and to bring them the healing words and message of the gospel. The big idea is to know, think, act, live, speak, proclaim the truth, and set an example in everything we do, and to witness to others of our race, so they may return to Yahweh and find forgiveness, restoration, and healing. The big idea is to demonstrate the true Christian life, just as Yeshua Christ showed us. That is what ideally means. The Narrow Gate, Matthew 7:13. Enter you in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow from obstacles is the gate, and narrow, or suffering affliction, is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Sirach 15:17. Before man is life and death, and whether him liketh shall be given him. Narrow is G2346, thlebo, which means pressed, afflicted, troubled. Why would the gate to life be a suffering and afflicted path? 2 Esdras 7:2. And the messenger said unto me, Rise, Ezra, and listen to the words that I have come to speak to you. I said, Speak, my master. And he said to me, There is a sea set in a wide expanse, so that it is broad and vast. But it has an entrance set in a narrow place, so that it is like a river. If anyone, then, wishes to reach the sea, to look at it, or to navigate it, how can he come to the broad part, unless he passes through the narrow part? And so, the entrances of this world were made narrow, and sorrowful, and toilsome. They are few and evil, full of dangers, and involved in great hardships. Therefore, unless the living pass through the difficult and vain experiences, they can never receive those things that have been reserved for them. If you live this mortal life for Yahweh, then you will suffer affliction from the world. If you live this mortal life for Haimi Jesus, then you may suffer affliction from Yahweh, if he wants you to return to him. If he knows that your heart and mind will not seek him and follow him if he were to draw you, then he won't. You may have a decent life because Yahweh still loves you, but he will allow you to have your delusions and will allow the adversary to deal with you. But if you are siding with Jewish Jesus, then you will likely not be afflicted, because you are serving evil. Haimi takes care of those who love him too, but Haimi cannot give you eternal life, only eternal damnation. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Yeshua heals a centurion's servant, Matthew 8:5. And when Yeshua was entered into Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Master, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, or paralyzed, grievously tormented, or tortured, pained, ordealized. Luke's account of this in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, he states that he was evilly ill rather than paralyzed, and he uses diasodzo, where Matthew uses therapeuo. Verse 7, And Yeshua said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Master, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. G2390, Ia Omahi, a verb, which means to cure, to heal, to make whole, to free from errors and sins. Christ marveled, or admired, that this Roman Israelite centurion's belief was so great. He obviously had the right belief, which is why Yeshua responded to him. Verse 13, And Yeshua said unto the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The same account in Luke 7:10 reads, And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, or sound, that had been sick, or that had been unfirm, or infirm. The centurion did not call on Haimi Jesus, but believed that Christ could heal his servant. The people witnessed the healing power of walking in the path of righteousness. Yeshua heals many at Peter's house. Matthew 8:14. And when Yeshua was come into Cephas' house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, or sick with inflammation, or feverish. The account in Luke 4:38 reads, And Simon's wife's mother was taken with, or was being afflicted with, a great fever, or inflammation. Verse 15 of Matthew, And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Sick of a fever is G4445, pureso, a verb, to be on fire, inflammation, feverish. Fever in verse 15 is G4446, puretos, a noun, and is a fever. Verse 16, When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, or they brought unto him the ones being demonized, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick, or, and healed all the ones that were evilly ill, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, or Himself took our weaknesses and bare our moral disability. The Greek has, He took the unfirmnesses of us and the diseases He bears. Infirmities is G769, asthenia, and is feebleness of body or mind. Sicknesses is G3554, nosos, and is a moral disability. Infirmness is the weakness or unhealthy state of the mortal body. Unfirmness is a weak state, instability, the weakness of other things as a wall, foundation, doctrine, of mind or soul. Yeshua heals the Gadarene demoniacs. Matthew 8:28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenos, there met him two possessed with devils, meaning two being demonized, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man may pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Yeshua, you son of Elohim? Are you come here to torment, or to torture, or ordealize us before the appointed time? The demons knew scripture and their own fate. The church crowd does not know or believe scripture and does not know their fate because they have been demonized. Verse 30. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine, feeding. So the demons besought him, saying, If you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the ones being demonized. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Yeshua, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. If we do not have true knowledge and understanding, if we stray from Yahweh, if we are habitually disobedient, then we leave ourselves open to demonic possession. We become Antichrist demoniacs whose volition and other mental faculties are overpowered, restrained, or disturbed by the evil spirits. Yahweh does not abide with sinners. He does not communicate with one who trusts in church doctrine, which does not teach you who you are and whose you are, and how to live according to Scripture. Yahweh will not share your heart with Jewish Jesus or Lord Baal. When you do not walk in the way, you are walking in darkness and are outside the protection of Yahweh, which is why so many so-called Christians are unhealthy, always afflicted with some calamity, and literally demonized. If you don't have Yeshua in your heart, Jesus Christ the Messiah, then you have an empty heart or are demon-possessed. Yeshua heals a paralytic, Matthew 9:1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, Nazareth. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, a paralytic, lying on a bed, and Yeshua seeing their faith, and Yeshua seeing the belief of them, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Yeshua, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins be forgiven, meaning sent forth or separated from you, or to say, Arise and walk? The Edomite Jew scribes should have seen the truth of the power of Yahweh and praised it. Rather, when they saw Yeshua heal the paralytic, their hearts were even more hardened, because then their own authority was challenged. They were keeping the people sick with their satanic traditions. Sins, in verse 10, is G-266, hamartia, a noun, and means to miss the mark of duty, that which is done wrong, sin, an offense, a violation of the divine law in thought or in act. Even in ignorance, we are held accountable for our errors. Verse 6, But that you may know that the Son of Adam has power on earth to forgive sins, or to pardon errors. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go unto your house. Yeshua saw that the paralytic and his friends had the right belief, so they were healed. It's no different today. If you trust the Jewish-run medical mafia and their synthetic pharmaceuticals, you will remain sick and a customer for life. If you trust in Yahweh and his natural remedies, repent and live in the way, you will be healed and be his overcomer for eternity. Yeshua sits at dinner with some tax collectors and sinners. Matthew 9:11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your teacher with tax collectors and sinners? But when Yeshua heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole, or they that are strong, need not a physician or healer, but they that are sick, or but the ones evilly ill. Luke uses whole, G5198, hugiaino, a verb which means to have sound health and to be uncorrupt, meaning true in doctrine. Matthew uses G2480, iskuo, which means strong in health or able. Verse 13, But go you and learn what that means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice or offerings. For I am not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance, meaning a change of mind. The Jew Pharisees did not care for the sick. They were after the righteous and healthy in order to make them sinners and sick, because it profited them when the sick brought offerings and complied with their ungodly added decrees. The churches do the same thing with their Jewish Judeo doctrines. They keep our people sinning and sick with fables and lies, Jew worship, and adopting Jewish values. Those that live righteously generally are not sick. Whole means to have strength. Sinners are not whole. When we adopt Jewish values, we become as Sodom and Gomorrah. We become estranged from Yahweh and are sick and weak. Return to Yahweh and be blameless.
Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the
Yahweh.
Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all of their heart. Wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts to be fully obeyed. Ooh. Oh, that my way. Obeying all your decrees, then I would not be put to shame when I consider your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart. Learn your righteous law.